Good morning, everybody. We are now in Parashat Be'a'alotcha. Also a very interesting Parasha, like all the Parashiyot. And there are so many issues in our Parasha that it's really very hard to choose what to talk about. So first of all, that's to have a brief thing about it. We have, first of all, lighting up the menorah. Be'alotcha. We are Parashat Be'alotcha. So first of all, it's lighting up the menorah. Then we have also Am Yisrael wanted meat to eat, Kivrot HaTa'ava. We have also at the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And like when we see at the end of the parasha, if I remember right, when Miriam talks about Moshe, which is also very puzzling. What exactly did she say? What was so wrong with what she said? So we also see another interesting thing. You know, in davening, we have a part of the tefillah which is called tachnun. And when, in normal days, it takes 1 minute, 2 minutes, maybe. But if there is a simcha, you don't have to say tachnun. And how happy are everybody, not because of the simcha, but because they don't have to say tachnun. And now it's only 1 minute or 2 minutes, maybe. Maybe on Monday and Thursday it's longer. It takes 3 minutes. But that's the whole thing. And people are so happy, we don't have to do it. And in our parsha we find out the opposite. There is the Pesach, and they have to bring the Korban Pesach. And there are a few people that cannot bring the Korban Pesach because they're impure. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu complaining. Why can't we bring the Korban Pesach? So said, that's how we see also the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, 1 minute I'll ask God. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. 1 minute I'll ask God. And he's asking God, and God gives Pesach Sheni. Next month, the same date, they will keep Pesach. Pesach Sheni, they will bring the sacrifice. There is another opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach. And it's very interesting, you know, because, I'm impure, so what's the problem? I don't have to. So I can say, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to say Tachnun. But the Torah tells us that if you love God, you want to do the mitzvahs, and you want to do even more than what you oblige, what you have to do. Because that's the way when you love somebody. You don't do only thing that you have to do, you do more than you have to do. So especially if they have to bring Korban Pesach and they cannot bring, they felt inside, it's impossible, we want to bring Korban Pesach. So God gave them the opportunity, which is a big lesson for us to learn. That, you know, if it's a tachnun, if it's anything else that we can patusa be, okay, it's not. Don't be happy about it. You know, at least to show God that you're not happy about it, you're patur, that you want to do it, which is an important point. And let's start with the beginning. The beginning says the parasha, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe le'Aharon ve'amar le'Aharon be'a'alotcha et hanerot. What is be'a'alotcha et hanerot? What's the translation? Does it give there Be'alotcha et hanerot?
And the Jewish person has a saying, speak unto Aaron and say unto him that when thou lighten the lamps.
When you do what?
When you lightest the lamps, the seven lamps.
Did you see the translation? What did the translation say? Light.
Light.
What? If I want to say to light the candles in Hebrew, what would I say? Le'adlik. And what is the Torah saying? Be'alotcha. That is not Ladlik. This is very interesting. We have to be very careful when we look at translations. Because translations, a lot of times, try to explain and not to translate. And here, for example, we have the same. This is one of many examples. The Torah doesn't say Le'adlik, to light. The Torah says Be'a'alotcha, when you raise up the candles. Which is a very strange way to tell us to light the candles. But still, if I read the translation and I don't know Hebrew, I've got no problem. I go on, okay, he lights the candle, but the Torah wants to tell us something. So what is the meaning of Be'a'alotcha et hanerot? Be'a'alotcha et hanerot means the light is the light of the Torah. And, you know, it's also telling us about education. When you want to teach somebody something, there are two ways. You can tell him once or twice, And he can then copy you like a parrot. You will say I, you say I, you say ani, ani, I'm stupid, I'm clever. Okay, so he knows how to say what you said. But if he's going to stand now without you and he has to decide something new, what is he going to do? Does he know how to deal with the world? No. If you made him like to duplicate your, whatever you do, like a parrot. That's not the way to educate. When you want to educate somebody or to teach somebody, you have to give him the tools that after you go, he can still go on with by himself and even find out new things. That's good education. So the Torah tells you, when you're talking about education, you don't just light. You don't just give the light to the student, to the pupil, to the child, to the children. You give them the tools so they can elevate themselves be'alotcha, even if you're not there. They're not going to turn off, and they're not going to be a copy of you. They are going to be by themselves, using the tools that God gave them, with the tools, exactly, with the tools you gave them, to think by themselves. It's very interesting, the Rasha Hirsch, on the first chapter of Tehillim, when it's written, V'aya ke'et shatul al pal gei ma'im, asher piryo yiten be'ito. He will be like a tree plant on palgei ma'im. What is palgei ma'im? Like rivers. But you cannot put a tree on rivers. You can put them on one river, near one river, not rivers. So what is palgei ma'im? So the Rasha Hirsch explains, the water is the Torah. The plant is the Talmid, the student. And when you want to learn, you cannot learn from one rabbi. You have to learn from a lot of rabbis. Or other words, you have to get different tools.
Different point of view. Yes.
Exactly. Because if you have only one point of view, you cannot discover your own self. You cannot be an individual. You will be a copy of the rabbi or the teacher that educated you. So, says the Rasha Hirsch, that's what the Tehillim says. If you will learn from a few sources, not from one source. Then you'll be fruitful and your leaves will not, libol, will not,
your lives will not.
No, aleu lo yibol. Limbol is like when the leaf finishes its life. When it falls down and dries.
Dry out.
In other words, if you learn from one source, you will have a problem. But if you have learned from a lot of sources, then you can build yourself. So people will ask, 1 minute, the Torah tells us, Mishnah tells us, Aseh lecha rav. You should make yourself a rav, means one rav, not a lot of rabbis. Yes, but that's a different case. Aseh lecha rav is when halachically you want to have an answer. So you cannot choose a rav that will give you the answer you like. So this rabbi is good for me on this question. This rabbi is good for me for the other question. It's like somebody told me in, say, Milta de Bdichuta is a joke. Says they've got now a new application on the, a new software that you ask the question.
And they give the rabbi, an answer.
No, 1 minute. That's okay. But you also write, what answer would you like?
Oh.
And then if it finds you the rabbi that will give you the right answer. But that's not the way. When the Rasha Hirsch tells us that you should learn from a lot of sources over a lot of rabbis, it means getting different tools. Like, develop yourself in a few ways. There are some rabbis that teach you straight what's written. There are some rabbis, the Hasidic, they are more going into the spiritual side. The other one is going more to the story side. The other one is more, let's say, humane, the other one is more physical. A lot of this way, you can build yourself. You have a lot of tools. That's why school, you haven't got one teacher. You have a lot of teachers. And they teach you a lot of subjects. Because you cannot teach one subject. And one teacher cannot teach all subjects. Because this way you will get only his opinion. And you wouldn't know anything else. And that's not the idea. The idea is to be clever and build yourself. That you have the power. When the rabbi goes, to go on and your light will shine in your own flame. And that is what the Torah is telling us in one word. Instead of telling us, when you light up the candles, the Torah tells us, Be'a'alotcha et hanerot. To tell us the way to educate, the way to get my education, the way to teach others. Ve'aya ke'etz shatul al palgei mayim. Which is a beautiful explanation of the Rasha Hirsch. And by the way, I don't remember if I've got it here, but I think, let's see if I find it quickly. Okay, I don't find it on what I think the Rambam says that. I think I've got it here. Who says it? 1 minute, let me look. Cannot see. Okay. Kol alomet Torah merav echad eino roe bracha leolam. So somebody who learns from one rabbi will not see a blessing in his learning. And that's what the Torah says, Ba'alotcha et hanerot. I think the Rosh Hashanah brings it in the name of somebody, but I don't see the name here. But anyway, the Rosh Hashanah is good enough for us. Okay, this is regarding Ba'alotcha et hanerot. And then another interesting part of the Parsha talks about the way Am Yisrael were moving in the desert. And it's very interesting. Why? When we look at it,
it's the cloud.
Yes. And it's very interesting because there is something that you hear again and again and again. And this is to tell us how the greatness of Am Yisrael at that time. Okay. It's in Perek Tet. Pasuk Yutchet. Perek Tet, Pasuk Yutchet. Pasuk 18. Al pi Hashem yisu bnei Israel, ve'al pi Hashem yachanu. So that whatever Am Yisrael is doing is what God tells us to do. When God tells them to move, they move. When God tells them to stop, to park, they park. Kol yemei asher ishkon ha'anan al ha'mishkan yachanu. When all the way the cloud is on the Mishkan, they stay. Ube'arich ha'anan. על המשכן ימים, and when the Anan will stay for many, many days, ושמרו בני ישראל בשמירה, שעם ישראל are keeping the word of God, and they don't move, ולא יסו. And there are some times that the cloud, ימים מספר, only a few days, על המשכן, על פי השם יחנו, and again, על פי השם יחנו, and we said, every word's got a meaning. So why is the Torah telling us again and again, על פי השם, על פי השם, על פי השם? And what is this all long story? If they stay 2 days, they're doing it on the Al-Pi Hashem. If they stay 1 week, Al-Pi Hashem. 1 year, Al-Pi Hashem. What's the idea behind it? The idea behind this is, first of all, to tell us that everything is by God. We have to live our life understanding that even when we go to the Makolet, it's Al-Pi Hashem. Be'ezrat Hashem. It's not simple. People don't realize it. That's why we say thank you every morning when we wake up. Everything is Al-Pi Hashem. And I just tell you a personal story. A year ago, I think, or 2 years ago, my son got married, and I think in the third days of marriage, they decided, he and his wife, to go to Caesarea on the beach and sit there and enjoy the sun, and then go to a restaurant. So he parks the car, he goes, sits with her on the beach, and they enjoy the sun coming down, and they go back to the car, and he wants to open the car, and
no keys.
Now, where did the keys fall?
In the sand.
In the sand. Now go and find the keys in the sand. And he tells me it was unbelievable. Like there were not a lot, but a few, at least 20, 30 people on the beach at that time, and they all helped to look for the keys, but they didn't find it. Now there is a problem. He's got the car, he's stuck there, he wants to go to a restaurant, and there are no keys. So he phones me. Baruch Hashem, he had the phone. He phones me, but I am on a way to a wedding in the other side, I think in Jerusalem or whatever. So I am already near the place. So what do we do? So I said, you know what? I'll ask my other son, see where he is, and he will go home and take the key, the other keys, the spare keys, and bring it to him. And Baruch Hashem, eventually, he didn't like the idea, but he did it. And I said to myself, look, it's unbelievable. You think you're going to have a beautiful evening and everything is like, you're controlling it. Well, you are on the beach, you've got the car near you, you have the keys in the pocket, and everything is okay. But then God shows you, even a simple thing like this, the key fell. Where did it fall? In the sand. Go and find it. So this is, we have to live our life understanding that every small thing we do, everything, is al pi Hashem. And another lesson here is, look, the greatest of Am Yisrael. There were some places, and you imagine to yourself, this is not one guy or one family. We're talking about millions of people. Now, imagine to yourself going out of Egypt, those millions of people. It's like imagining to ourselves, whole Ra'anana, which is nothing like Am Yisrael, whole Gush Dan, okay? Take all Gush Dan, in 1 minute they all go. Can you imagine to yourself what's going to happen?
It's a traffic jam.
Traffic jam. We cannot move. It's unbelievable. And, you know, to organize a thing like this. Now imagine to yourself, all those people are moving in the desert. Al pi Hashem. God told them to go. They go. God tell them, okay, now park. You have to put the tents up. Like a camping, yes? Put the tents up, organize the children, organize the thing. It takes hours. You just finished. Suddenly, the cloud goes up. Move! What did Am Yisrael did? Didn't complain. They moved. In some places, they stay for years. And you know, the children were already bored. They see it's the same playground, the same thing, every day. Also didn't complain. God wants us to sit here, we sit here. So it didn't matter if it was 1 day, 2 days, 2 months, 2 years, 10 years. Al pi Hashem yachanu, ve'al pi Hashem yisau. That's a big lesson. A big lesson to us to understand and realize that whatever we do on the word of God. Al pi Hashem. And then I have to talk about this for a few minutes, about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, or what exactly was the problem with Miriam talking. What did she say that was so terrible? So let's see what she said. ותדבר מרים ואהרון, it's in פרק י"ב, פסוק, the first פסוק. ותדבר מרים ואהרון במשה. It's Miriam talking with Aaron, but the main figure here is Miriam. על אודות האישה הכושית, on the woman he took, the black woman, but they say it's not exactly the black woman, we're not going to go into it. But the woman he took, כי אישה כושית לקח. Now, first of all, we think that they talk not nicely about his wife. But that's not the idea. What they're really saying is that he took a wife and now he left her. He's not with her. Why is he not with her? Because he's talking with God all the time. So he wants to stay pure all the time. So he separated himself from his wife. He says, look at him, what Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, you have to understand, it's not that he's saying it's wrong what he did. On the contrary, what did they say the next pasuk? Vayomru, arak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, alo gam banu diber. Says, what, only Moshe speaks with God? We are also, Miriam is a prophet, and Aaron is a prophet. Also with us he talks. So we also should separate ourselves from our spouses, Miriam from her husband, and Aaron from his wife, the same way as Moshe Rabbeinu did. Now, what is so terrible about this? That's what he did. Because when we read the Psukim, we understand. Because they're not saying, okay, it's finished. Aisha kushiti lakach. No. What only on Moshe Rabbeinu he spoke, we are also in this. And then comes God. Vayishma Hashem. Vayish Moshe, and then the Torah tells Vayish Moshe anav me'od, and Moshe is the most humble person in the whole world. Vayomer Hashem. And look how interesting this is. For suddenly the Torah tells us that Moshe is the most humble man. What is the connection? And then, Vayomer Hashem pitom el Moshe ve'el Aaron ve'el Miriam, and he talks to three of them. Pitom, suddenly. Tzu, come to Ohel Moed. Suddenly. Vayetzu shlostam. Of course, God calls us. Vayered Hashem ba'amud anan ve'yamot p'tach ha'ol ve'yakra Aaron u'Miriam ve'yetzu shnem, and then he calls Aaron and Miriam, come out. ויאמר שמעון הדברי, listen to me, אם השם נביאכם, אם יהיה נביאכם, if you're a prophet, במראה את ודא אליו, בחלום אדבר בו, doesn't mean who it is a prophet. When I go, I talk with him, I talk with him through the dream, through a mirror. I don't talk with him directly. It doesn't matter what prophet it is. לא כן עבדי משה. But my Moshe, bechol beti ne'eman bu, pe'el pe'a daber bu, mouth to mouth I speak to him. Not only I'm speaking through him. How dare you even think that you are like Moshe Rabbeinu? It's unbelievable. So what was the sin? Thinking that they were Moshe Rabbeinu. So look how beautiful the Torah explained to us. First of all, the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble guy in the whole planet. Why? Because he is the greatest guy on the whole planet. Because to be humble comes from a point of greatness. Because otherwise, it's not humbleness. If you are nothing, I'm humble. So, who are you? But if you are Moshe Rabbeinu and you are humble, that's greatness. So in other words, humbleness comes from greatness. And there is no humbleness without greatness. We have to understand this. Humbleness doesn't mean that I'm not great. On the contrary, I have to deal with what I've got and show it to everybody, but with humbleness. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. God talks with him. You know, if somebody here, God will talk with him, he will feel, oh, I am the greatest guy in the world. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble guy in the world. A big lesson is here. First of all, to look how great Moshe Rabbeinu is. Secondly, to understand what was really the sin of Miriam. She compared herself to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's unbelievable to understand and realize what we're talking about. For us, the lesson is that when we light the candles, we should have the tools to learn, like we sit and learn. Learn the Torah and understand what's in it. Even not only when there is a rabbi or when there is a teacher, also when we sit by ourselves, to have the tools. That's the way to educate. And when we have the right tools, then we can elevate ourselves. By lotchat and rot, we can get to the highest levels. But still, we have to stay humble. Even if we are the greatest people in the world, we have to stay humble. And everything we do, al pi Hashem, on the word of God. Ezrat Hashem, we should have it this way.